Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Let's greet one more time. Say, it's a little early, but let's say Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Today is the last Sunday of 2020. What a year, right? I just want to begin with an encouragement. I want to say you did a great job. You did a great job in going through difficult times, keeping up with your work, family, and especially keeping your spiritual life together with this loving church community. So I want to bless you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God will continue to bless you with his providential care and his protection and faithful guidance. Amen. As we wrap up year 2020 and getting ready to face the new year, I want to seek God's grace together with the sermon title, Journey of Faith Begins. In book of Genesis, chapter 1 through 11, the story begins with the creation of the world and human dwelling in the presence of God and experiencing his blessing. Then it continues with the tragic story of disruption of that blessing due to the problem of sin. But hope persists in God's relentless pursuit of renewed relationship with his human creatures. God has been persistently gracious to humanity, even though the humans continue to sin against him. So he chooses one person through whom he will restore the blessing to the whole world. So he chose Abraham and makes a covenant with him to choose, distinguish, and preserve his descendants to continue his story of redemption. This is called Abrahamic covenant. God's covenant with Abraham has been succeeded to the nation of Israel, and it has been expanded to the New Testament churches through the redemptive ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this covenant has reached us and still continues to the world through us. So we who are in Christ are the people in this covenant, and this is how we can assure the hope of eternal life and faithfully walk in our lives to fulfill this covenant. And in today's passage, this covenant begins with a command. Verse 1 says, "The Lord has said to Abraham, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you.'" Just as God commanded to create the world and humanity, God commands Abraham, who he will be blessing, he will place his blessing on, to leave in order to recover a broken divine human relationship and to create a new people. And he makes a covenant in verse 2. "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." This is probably one of the favorite Bible verses for many Christians. This is the life we want to live. We want to become someone great for God's glory. And we want to become someone who shares our blessing with other people. But when we look at ourselves, it may seem like we don't have enough possessions or skills to help others. It may seem like we don't have strong will and persistence to commit our lives to God. It seems like we are just too busy living for ourselves. Maybe get into a good school, get a good job, get married and have children, and just simply try to live well. So we may not think about becoming someone great for the glory of God, and may not think about being a blessing to other people. Maybe this was probably the same for Abraham. When God gave Abraham a great promise, he was already a 75-year-old grandpa. God promised him to make him a great nation, but he did not have any children. Besides, he was a minority. And looking at his specs, there was no chance of him being a great nation and be a path of blessing. But God chose Abraham to become Abraham, father of faith, and become blessing for his descendants. God chose someone who looks hopeless to be a hope to his people. Then how did Abraham respond to God's such calling? I want us to trace his steps and his journey of faith to see how he fulfilled God's calling. First, he met with God. Let's take a look at verse 1 again. Verse 1 says, "The Lord has said to Abraham." The Lord had said to Abraham. This tells us what the beginning of Abraham's faith is. Faith is not something that falls from the sky. It is not something you gain from other people or simply coming to church on Sunday. The faith begins by listening to the Word of God. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. Listening to the Word of God is like meeting God, and the greatest blessing is to meet God. There is no greater gift than this. That's because our life can only change when we meet Him. Just as Saul met Jesus Christ and became Paul, we must meet God and be transformed to find the true meaning of life. As you know, I grew up as a pastor's kid. So believing Jesus was natural, and going to church and attending the service was a matter of course. So when I was young, I thought I was going to church to meet God, but it wasn't actually a meeting, but it was more of attending. Rather than having a give-and-take conversation and actually have a meeting with Him, I was just at the church attending the service, not bothered to say something to God and pay attention to His words. So when I was listening to the sermon, it was like there's a highway between my right ear and left ear. So as soon as I hear, it goes in, it comes out right out. So nothing really stayed in my head, and obviously it did not transfer into my heart. But for our faith to grow, we must have a desire to meet Him. Rather than simply attending the service, we must have this desire to meet God and have an intimate relationship with Him through His word, prayer, praise, and worship. Worship service is the most important aspect of life of faith. It is the most important and effective way to meet God and experience His grace. So when we come to Him, God wants us to give us strength when we are weak, and we can experience this through worship service. God wants to comfort us when we are lonely, and we can experience God's consolation through worship. God wants to show us the right path when we wander, and through worship, we can hear God's voice and find the right path. Without worship, we can never fully become what we are meant to become, and our true purpose will remain hidden. An act of building an altar is an expression that we are firmly grabbing onto His promise and seeking His will and presence in our lives. This is why, if you see in verse 7 and 8 in today's passage, Abraham built an altar and worshiped God whenever he moved to a new place and whenever he had a chance. But we also know that later in this story, when Abraham forgot to build an altar, in other words, he forgot to seek God's will, when he went to Egypt, he made a terrible mistake. You know, worship is far more than what we do on Sundays. Although what we do on Sunday should reflect on what the life of worship is like. So those who come to this worship service, and especially those who take part in leading this worship as a praise team, a PowerPoint, a prayer of intercession, usher or greeter, whatever you do, you need to prepare well with your heart. Prepare your offering beforehand with prayer. Prepare with tension and anticipation that we are here to meet Him. When I was taking a preaching course, I read this book called Preaching with Relevance by Keith Wilhite. And there was a quote by him that struck me, which says, "Good preaching begins, continues, and ends on our knees." Due to my shortcomings, I tend to forget this very easily, but this is a reminder I try my best to hold on to whenever I have a preaching opportunity. But I think this is something that we can apply in our worship as well. Good worship begins, continues, and ends on our knees. Make each song that we sing, message we listen to, prayers that we give to be live and active. Because I strongly believe that meeting Him and experiencing Him will bring dramatic changes into your life. And as your spiritual life of faith becomes healthy and prosperous, your earthly physical life will also become healthy and prosperous as well, because That's how we are created to be. Second, he left the old sinful life. Take a look at verse 1 again. It says, leave your country, your people, and your father's household. Leave your country, people, and father's household is an expression that to emphasize the same meaning, which means to get rid of your old, past, sinful life. Then why does he have to leave his hometown? Abraham's hometown was Ur, which is now located in Iraq. This was his birthplace, and Abraham was living here when God called him. It was an extremely sophisticated city and an apex of civilization. To hear the name Ur in the ancient Near East would have the same effect as hearing New York City, London, or Tokyo, or some other major center of civilization. It was a prosperous city with security and high standard of living. And it was a city that was difficult to leave. And Abraham was 75 at that time. And telling Abraham to leave his hometown is like telling someone who has lived in maybe in Bergen County, New Jersey for life with a six, seven-digit salary, nice big mansion, all his family living nearby, reputable, and very used to this town. So to people's eye, giving up this wealth and comfortable living seems quite difficult. But God commands him to leave his comfort zone because God had a bigger plan and blessing for Abraham. And this current life was not the life that God has planned for him. Indeed, it was a comfortable life for Abraham, and he seems very blessed. But to God's eyes, it was not a blessed life. His hometown Ur was the city of idolatry. Abraham's father, Terah, and his family worshiped different God. And although they had everything, they did not know God. But God distinguished Abraham to bless him and to use him to recover the broken relationship between God and human to give his people a new life. So Abraham is like the figure of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. So in order for God to make a great nation through Abraham, Abraham had to leave the old sinful life of idolatry, wrong habits, and wrong way of living and thinking. If the first step to faith is meeting with God by listening to him, the second step is the separation. Faith requires separation. It is to separate our lives from old sinful way of life. The life without knowing God. This is called holy. And those who are distinguished as holy is called saint. In other words, Christian. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? If we want to live a faithful life and be a blessing to other people, that we must leave our country and our people and our father's house. In other words, not taking this line literally and get ready to pack to leave this country, but the spiritual meaning of this is that we must leave the wrong lifestyle and mindset. We cannot change if we live the same old life. We must leave from our sins, laziness, self-centeredness, self-righteousness, and all the things that make us separate from God. There was this young man at my previous church who experienced this separation. He lived a life not knowing God, not a churchgoer, smoking, drinking, gambling, and sexual problems. To make the long story short, all of a sudden, his friend brought him to church. And it was a week before retreat, and we told him, oh, you know what, let's go to retreat together. So we invited him to the retreat. And guess what? He came. He came to the retreat and he met Jesus. Praise the Lord. I was happy. Maybe you're not. But he met Jesus at the retreat. And he came out, and there was a time when we were sharing how we met God, and he just came up to the stage and he testified in front of many people how God has touched him at the retreat and how he felt God's love deeply in his heart. Then he took out a pack of cigarettes and he crushed them and threw it away. Hope no one feels it's a waste. Well, since then, he decided to quit smoking, drinking, and left all his unhealthy habits and all sinful lifestyle and strive to live a faithful life that pleases God. But of course, there are many temptations that try to draw us back to our old lifestyle. It is very hard to separate us from old habits and sinful life to obey God's calling because of our sinful nature. And this was a hard task to Abraham too. If you only read this passage, it seems like Abraham immediately obeyed to God's calling. But it was actually God's second calling. He already called him out from Ur, and on the way to the land God has called him to be, he made a stop at the land called Haran. And this land definitely tempted Abraham and his family because this land was good for livestock farming. So Abraham's father thought this was good enough for them, so they decided to stay there. Genesis chapter 11, verse 31 says, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram. And together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. But this was not the place where God called them to be. So Abram's father Terah, because of his limited obedience, or maybe disobedience, he did not get to experience the promised land, and he died in Haran. There are many temptations and barriers that prevent us to go into a deeper dimension of life, of faith. But as we remember his grace and his love, he helps us straighten us and guide our path to help us walk faithfully. But he requires our commitment to separate ourselves from worldly lust, greed, and sin in order for us to live according to his calling and his purpose. So I want to ask yourself this question. What is the old sinful life that I have to leave? Thirdly, he went to pursue new life. Verse 1 says, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. The land that I will show you is the land that God has planned for Abraham and his descendants. But for Abraham, it is the unknown land, place where he had never been to. If you go on a business trip or vacation, you wouldn't go to a place where it has no wireless or internet connection. They usually have some kind of services that we can rely on so that we don't get lost. And I've been to Brazil Amazon 2 times, and there's no internet or wireless services. So we just got into a ship and a boat to cross the Amazon River with no GPS. No one to ask, and we're in the middle of the river. Only thing we can do is to just stay on the ship, follow the missionary's instruction, and just rely on captain who's taking us to our destination. Maybe this uncertainty would have been there for Abraham too. He didn't know where God is leading him to. The way that God leads him seems no fun. Everything seems uncertain and vague. To people's eyes, this is not understandable at all and seems like a foolish way to follow. Likewise, there are times when we must obey something that we don't understand. There are times when we must do what we are not interested or think it's not worth it. But even though it seems uncertain and even though it seems foolish to follow God's calling, if God is calling you to the place where he wants you to be, calling you to obey and follow, and calling you to make a commitment to leave your comfort zone, we need to obey and trust him and follow him. And this is called faith. So with this faith, without even knowing where he was going, Abraham obeyed and left immediately. Verse 4 says, so Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Not only Abraham left, but also Lot, Abraham's nephew, left with him too. This is very important because, as you may know, the story of Abraham, they have the same beginning, but their ending is different. Abraham became a father of faith and a great nation, but Lot's life was ruined. They left together, but why their life is so divided? Because first, Abraham listened to God and followed his word. But Lot listened and followed people's word. Followed human perspective and human standard. This gives us a lesson that if you follow God's word, even though the situation seems uncertain, he will make it certain. But if you follow people's word, if you rely on your own wisdom, even though it seems certain, but it will become uncertain. And second, Abram worshiped God wherever he goes. Verse 7 and 8 says, so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. But unlike Abraham, nowhere in the Bible says Lot worshipped God. And this is what divided these two people's lives. Without worship, you will wander. Without worship, you will live a self-centered and self-righteous life. And without worship, you will not experience his deep grace. And without worship, you will always feel emptied and hopeless. Not worshiping God is an expression that you will live by believing in yourself. And it is an expression that you are in control of your own life. So go and pursue new life is to submit our own will, own plan, own interest before God and start living a life according to his will, putting your complete trust in him and living a life to please him and glorify him. Of course, this new life is a new life we found in Jesus Christ, the eternal life that he has given us. Therefore, we need to change our perspectives and have paradigm shift in our lives. We need to seek what is eternal, real, and true. That is what it means by pursue new life. Those who trust themselves will fail one day, but those who put trust in God, acknowledge him, and relying on him will live a blessed life. Remember Abraham, who was unknown, 75-year-old guy with no children, a guy who grew up in family worshiping idol, became a great nation and a source of blessing when he puts his complete trust in God and decide to go and follow and pursue the new life that God has planned for him. So I want to ask yourself this question. Which way of living do I want to choose? I would like to conclude today's message. There's an American psychologist, William Marston. He did a random survey to 3,000 people. The most important topic in the survey was a question of, what have you to live for? What have you to live for? He was shocked at the response he got that 94% of the people just live by waiting for just something to happen. In other words, 94% of the people live without having any purpose or dream in their lives. People just live day by day, no meaning, no passion, no purpose in their life. All they care about is to have a decent job, just raise our kids well, and eat well, and just enjoy their life. Modern people live in a machine civilization, which means just like the gear rotates back and forth, people live in a fixed time, fixed standard, and following the routine. And we often find ourselves like a gear in a machine and just live a busy life without a clear sense of purpose or sense of mission in our lives. But life without purpose is like shooting an arrow without target. But thankfully, in the midst of life, sleeping, waking up, working, eating, sleeping, and waking up again, God has called us. God transformed our mechanical life into a personal life in relation to God. And he lets us find his will within the place where God has placed you. Remember, you are far better and worthy being than simply enjoying the worldly pleasure. God bought you with the blood of Jesus Christ to do the greater things for him. And just like God chose Abraham, God chose someone like us to continue his mission. And when God called out Abraham, he gave this promise from verse 2 and 3. It says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This promise is a vision that God has given to Abraham. But this is the promise not only given to Abraham, but also given to all of us as well. This is a promise, a covenant that God made with his people. It was given when he was living sinful life, old and hopeless, and not worthy to receive such calling. Nothing made sense to Abraham, and maybe may seem crazy to abandon his old good life to follow the new life that God has called him to live. And he had no idea how God will accomplish his promise through him. But according to Paul in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, it says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Although he may have felt undeserved to possess such vision, it is this promise that Abraham trusted and grabbed onto in the midst of uncertainties. Likewise, we may not seem to become a great nation and become a source of blessing, but we are the people who received undeserved grace to be his children, his servant, and the path of blessing. This is God's mission, to bring back sinful people like us to him, and also to change and teach disobedient and undeserved people like us to accomplish his mission for his glory and for his kingdom. So even though we see our weak, sinful human being, even though we live in the midst of uncertainties, even though we must walk the life that we have never walked before, and even though the situation doesn't seem hopeful, let us submit our lives to him. Let us find our new life in him, listen to him, meet him, worship him, and follow him. And let us place our lives into his almighty hand and live to fulfill God's mission in our lives. As we wrap up this crazy and unforgettable year of 2020 and getting ready to take the first step of another year of this journey of faith, I ask all of you to grab onto this promise that God has made to Abraham and to all of us in the midst of uncertainties. Do not lose faith at the sight of obstacles or the battles we must engage in. Do not give up on what God has promised you, even though it seems slow in coming. And though it may be the long, dry way, don't give up. Move forward. Persevere to the end. Give your best effort and always rely on God. And look up to the God of vision to the end. Even if the circumstances are bad or things still look unclear or doubtful, even if God does not bring us to the place where he has promised to bring us, believe that he has his reasons and it is for our good. It is God who called us, and it is his grace that will help us to move forward. So it is our job to trust him and move forward on his path, not our path. So as you begin the journey of faith in 2021, do not be anxious about tomorrow, but engage in what God is doing in your life and believe that God has in mind his best for us. Exodus chapter 14, verse 15 says, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. As we get ready for the new year, leave all the bad memories behind. Turn yourself from old, bad, sinful life and strive to meet God. And move on to pursue new life of faith and stand strong and live confidently in his promise and continue to seek and participate in God's mission, and let the blessing flow through you so that your household, your workplace, and our church, and all the communities that you belong to may be blessed by you. Let us pray. Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us and guiding us to go through the darkest tunnel that we may have never been through in the past. But you became the light to show us the path and help us to possess hope in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you continue to help us with your hands to strengthen our faith so that we may continue to seek your presence, turn ourselves from sinful life, and pursue new life that is true and eternal. Lord, we lift the year, new year 2021 to you, and we are about to walk the path that we have never walked before, but we know that your will be done. And as the new journey of faith begins, pray that you will continue to guide us and watch over all of us and those who are gathering here to worship you today. Lord, we thank you, we love you. We pray all this thankfully in Jesus' name. Amen.